Today's reading is from Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 31. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich with God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon, with all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good afternoon. Hope you can hear me reasonably okay. It's great to be here. I think I'm usually wheeled out about this time of the year, so it's great to be here. Well, it's quite a long passage that we've had read, so in the time that we've got this afternoon, I thought I'd just concentrate on the parable that Jesus tells, which began right at the start of the reading, which is, in my Bible, it's entitled "The Parable of the Rich Fool." So if you've come looking forward to hearing the rest of the passage, then my apologies. But in the time we've got, this is about as much as we can cover. Now, you may have seen Boris Johnson this week in the news, and he was visiting a children's ward in a hospital. And if you saw the news, you saw that although he went there, some would say cynically, for a photo opportunity, those more charitable of us would say that he was wanting to sort of encourage the nurses and the doctors and learn a bit more about their troubles and so on. Anyway, he was interrupted, wasn't he, by a gentleman whose daughter was actually in the ward as a sick child. And we later learn that he was a Labour activist, but whether that's relevant or not, I'll leave you to decide. But so poor old Boris there was having to kind of argue in front of this rather hostile intruder. Well, if something like this happened to Jesus, and although we didn't read this little section before he tells the parable. It's quite important because usually Jesus told parables in response to people's questions or in response to situations. And he tells this parable about the rich fool in response to a man in the crowd. I'll just read it to you. It says, someone in the crowd says to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Well, I'm pretty sure that had absolutely nothing to do with what Jesus was teaching at the time. And Jesus gave him a bit short shrift, really. He said, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Now, I think the background to this is that this man's had obviously suffered a bereavement in his family. Probably his father had died, and in the Jewish custom of the time, it was up to the elder son, his older brother, to sort out the inheritance and to divide it between the family. Except in this case, he obviously hadn't done anything. And so the man in the crowd is preoccupied with this and thinks he'll take this problem to Jesus as the pastor, as the teacher. But I think Jesus detects there's something a bit deeper that kind of concerns him. And so he says to this man, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." So I think Jesus sees something deeper here in this man's preoccupation with this situation. It's not that Jesus isn't interested in things like this, but I think he was concerned about the man's spiritual well-being. And as a result of this, he tells this parable. Now, I'm just going to read those few verses of the parable again, because they're very short, and I want you to listen to them and see if you can spot the three mistakes that this rich farmer makes. Three mistakes. Just see if you can see what they are. So I'll just read the story again. He told this parable, "The ground of a certain man, a certain rich man, yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And then I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God.'" So God calls this man a fool. And I think he makes three basic mistakes. Number one, I think he forgot that all good things come ultimately from the hand of God. Do you notice how Jesus puts it? He doesn't say this rich man worked his socks off and produced this amazing harvest. No, Jesus puts it like this. He says, "The ground of a certain man yielded an abundant harvest." I think that's his way of saying that this rich man didn't really contribute a lot to the bumper harvest. I don't suppose he did any of the work at all. Probably his servants would have done all the work. But it was the ground, God's provision, that actually yielded the abundant harvest. Fertile land, perfect weather, right amount of sunshine, right amount of rain. And the man's good fortune is that he's got a bumper harvest. And he forgets that ultimately All this good stuff comes from the hand of God. That's what we've been reflecting on, haven't we, in this service. We thank God for the food and the clothes and all the good things that comes ultimately from God's hand. So that was the first thing. The second mistake I think he made was that he thought himself invincible. Verse 19, he says this, I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But he was wrong, wasn't he? He didn't have many years. In fact, that very night, God was going to take his life away. My granddaughter, who's only four, we were playing this game, and I was playing the part of an old man, which was not terribly difficult, because I was playing myself, really. And she was playing the part of a consultant in a hospital, and going round, and I was supposed to be ill. So I said to her, Doctor, you know, sort of really getting into the part, Doctor, how long have I got? And she replied without hesitation, about 10 meters. Wonderful, isn't it? Children don't always understand what you mean. I don't suppose many of you are into smartphones and all that sort of stuff, but I came across an app which is quite amazing, really. You can put all the information into this app that you download for your phone, all the stuff about your diet, your health, your age, your eating behavior, etc. And it will predict how long you're likely to live. I mean, isn't that cheerful? I thought, well, I don't want to know, thank you. None of us know how long we've got. But this man thought he was invincible. He was wrong, wasn't he? But there's a third mistake. The third mistake was that he forgot that he was accountable to God for his life and for the choices he had made. Verse 17. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. He was a very fortunate man, wasn't he? He had this bumper harvest. He had more than he could store in his own barns. And did he think about other people? Did he thank God? Did he attribute to God his good fortune? Did he care about others? Did he share it with his family even, or his neighbors? No, he just decided to keep it all for himself by building bigger barns. He was greedy, wasn't he, and selfish. So that was his third mistake. He failed to realize or remember that he has to give an account to God for the choices that we make in this life. So what's the answer? What does Jesus say at the end of the parable? He says, this is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. He'd allowed things to distract him, hadn't he, against what was really important. He'd allowed things and the desire for things to get in the way of what really matters, which is our relationship with God. And Jesus says that we should be rich towards God. What does that mean, being rich towards God? Well, I suppose harvest is a good reminder that we cannot live without God. And we express in this harvest service our thanks and appreciation to God for all his many blessings. All of us can look back on our lives, and I'm sure we've had good times and bad times. But I wonder whether you can see God's hand with the good things that he's given you. But you see, most of all, we should give thanks to God because he has sent his Son to die on the cross and to take the penalty for our sins and to save us from hell. In this very chapter, you know, the thing I love about Jesus is that he really tells it as it is. When we think about politicians, the one thing that frustrates us all, doesn't it? They never answer a question. They never really tell you the truth. Do we really know what's going to happen on October the 31st? Do the politicians really know? I don't know. But Jesus tells it as it is. And early in this chapter, he says this, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell." Now we may say, whew, that's a bit tough, isn't it? But Jesus tells us the truth, doesn't he? We need to hear what he has to say to us. And if we appreciate what Jesus has done for us by dying on the cross to make it possible for our sins to be forgiven, that we can not only enjoy blessings from God in this life, but in the next life. That it's God, through Jesus, who can take us through death. Then we should be so grateful, so thankful to God for sending Jesus, that we want to be rich towards him. We want to dedicate our lives to him. "This is how it will be," says Jesus, "with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service that is an opportunity to be reminded of the wonderful blessing of harvest. How we realize, Lord, it's your hand behind everything that blesses us. And we thank you most of all, Lord, for your most precious gift, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world to die on the cross, to pay the price for our sins, so that we might be forgiven, that we might be able to live in the knowledge that you will take us into eternity through our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for this. In his name, amen.